And let's also take a drink. I took a look at the schedule here. You don't need to pull it out. Oh, also, if you didn't get the memo, please, if you see a handout on your seat, just tuck it away for now. We'll pull that out in a couple minutes. But I was looking to see what this time was called. This session was called, and it's called an afternoon fellowship. And lucky for us, a good synonym for fellowship in the New Testament is flow. So we are in an afternoon flow, an afternoon flow time. And I'm not just saying this for the sake of saying it, but I really, really am burdened about this afternoon time. And I'm really excited that the brothers have led us all in the singing this afternoon. I just feel that we're in the flow. Amen. We are in the Spirit right now. Amen. And I just urge you not to get out. Because I'm about to give you the subject of this afternoon fellowship time, and it is T-I-M-E time. Don't leave the flow. You might say immediately, I've heard this fellowship, but I don't think so. Not like you're about to hear it. I really enjoyed Brother Brian. I see him in the back in his this message that he just spoke. He was talking about vapor, being vaporized or not being vaporized. He said, if we came into the presence of God the Father, we would be vaporized. Oh no, we can't access the Father directly. But then in our reading, and I think Jared from CSUN shared this at the microphone, he said, hallelujah, God has become vapor to us. So I just enjoyed connecting these two. In order that we would not be vaporized in His presence, our God has flowed to become vapor to us. He is the Father ice cube, become the Son water, become the Spirit vapor to reach us, that we wouldn't have to come in His presence and be vaporized. But you know what? Does anyone here know another reference to vapor in Psalm 144 and James chapter 4? You know what else is likened to vapor? Human life. A man's life is likened to the fleeting vapor or to a breath. Human life is not infinitely long. We have a concept that life is this infinite commodity. You know what? God, in eternity, He was flowing. And then when He created the earth, He flowed into time. And there has been 6,000 years of time. And He will flow on into eternity in the new heaven and new earth. But to us, each one of us, time begins when we were born. And time ends when we die. We die, we go right into eternity. Your human life is like a vapor. It is. It's fleeting. You know what? I am burdened, and I hope we all are open to the Lord. We actually need our days to count. The verse speaks about numbering our days, and the brothers will share more on this. Every single day of our life matters more than we can understand. And you know, I want you all to open up your Bible or your smartphone to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's read verses 15 through 18, all right? Okay, does everyone have it? Okay, one, two, three, go.
Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit.
We can stop there. So I want you, either in your Bibles or on your paper, to not forget verse 16, Ephesians 5:16. But also, for the sake of this conference on the flow, it's awesome, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled in the flow of the Spirit. So you know what? The flow and our time are intimately connected.
Yeah. Right.
You can be drunk with wine, and your days can be gone like a breath. Or you can redeem the time by being filled in Spirit.
Amen.
Remember what Jeremiah 2:13 says is the most evil thing, the unique evil to the Lord? It's not drinking.
Right.
So how about read verse 16 one more time.
Redeem the time because the days are evil.
One more time, strongly.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
The days, even the enemy, is happy when we live meaningless days, non-drinking days, days that don't count in the Lord's eyes. But we, do you all mean business with the Lord? Do you mean business with the Lord?
Amen.
I believe everyone here means business with the Lord. If you don't mean business with the Lord, disregard this afternoon fellowship. If you mean business with the Lord, highly regard this fellowship. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. We all can attest to this. Days just pass like nothing. And we forgot to touch the Lord. We forgot to take a drink. Filled with a lot, but the days don't count. You know, I just want to really quickly speak just something very short again. Stay with me here. You know what the word, the Greek word for time is in Ephesians 5:16? There are two Greek words for time. One is, can someone try to say this? Probably can't read my writing. One is chronos, you know, chronology. This refers to just the passing time element, sequence of times, months, weeks, days. This time goes on. It's quantitative. Here's one other word. It is keros. Okay? You know what this word can also mean? It means the supreme moment in time. The opportunity that comes across every once in a while. This is a special time. This is not just, it's not quantitative, it's qualitative. Okay, don't get lost here. But the word in verse 16 for time, guess which one it is? It's keros. Redeeming not just time in general, although that's important. We're going to speak even about scheduling. But redeem the opportunities. Don't miss the opportunities.
Amen.
Make the most of the opportunities.
Amen.
I just want to say two things about the college years that are special. Special thing number one, you will have more chronos, more free time than you ever will in your life. I just got married and it's becoming real to me. I have a lot less time than I did when I was in college. Free time, that is. The second special thing about your years in college is the Lord is ready to even grant you some special opportunities which actually can never be replaced. You know, right now, I would like to have some opportunities back which I missed. But you know what? You can't. They're gone. You know, I just want to give you one little example. When I was in junior high, believe it or not, I was helped to enjoy the Lord a whole lot in this one year. And I had a close friend, his name was Kyle, and he was just a friend at my, middle school at the time. And I invited him to a gospel meeting, and I was surprised that he said yes. And you know what? By the end of that night, he walked down the aisle as the guitars were playing, "Just as I am." And he received the Lord.
Amen.
and I was a happy little middle schooler. There was a special opportunity which the Lord granted to the two of us. Soon after that, he moved away to Germany. I didn't know that. I haven't seen him again in person. Actually, I saw him once. But I was so thankful that I redeemed that time.
Amen.
I was enjoying the flow, and we had a special opportunity. But you know what? I can also say many opportunities in college I missed. But we're not here to lament. We're here to look forward with optimism. Let's redeem the time.
Amen.
Let's not waste the time. These years are full of free time, and they're also full of special opportunities which you can never have back. And just to wrap up, maybe I shouldn't say this. This is just a silly wrap-up. I don't know why I was reading, I think I was reading the internet, a blog or something. And today there's kind of a silly little acronym, slang, and it is YOLO. YOLO! It may come in the form of a hashtag. It's what you hashtag when you're about to do something silly, impetuous, rash. Let's go skydiving. YOLO! What does it mean? Let's go get drunk. YOLO! It means you only live once. You know, a funny explanation of this is YOLO is the equivalent of carpe diem for dumb people. Because it lacks the worthiness of the saying carpe diem. But you know what? This is real. You only live once. Your life is a vapor. Let's make it count.
Amen.
I will plan to read the Bible today. YOLO! I went away to Big Bear for a conference. Why? YOLO! FLOLO! But hallelujah!
Amen. Hallelujah. So now's the time when you can take out your schedule. That's not you haven't written on yet. But we just, after that fellowship, we like to consider our time. And I just really appreciate everything Ben shared. I felt like was so helpful, was so good. This is wonderful. We want to redeem this vapor of a life with some, and redeem the time, and eventually our life will count and will be filled with the eternal weight of glory. This vapor becomes weighty, full of the weight of the New Jerusalem, the weight of gold. Okay, so I have a couple words for you. I have three words: business, which Ben mentioned, regrets, and goals. So Ben mentioned this phrase that when we're serious, we all mean business with the Lord this weekend. And the Lord, he used this phrase in Luke chapter 19, in verse 13. I'll just read you this verse. After he gave these slaves 10 minas, well, it's a parable of himself. He left and he said, "Do business until I come." Yeah. So the Lord's charge to us is to do business. And as you consider the business model, no one does business in a haphazard way. No one just goes on Kickstarter, gets $75,000 and says, okay, what should we do next? No, everyone has a plan. People make plans because it's serious. And if you're serious, you'll consider your time very, very seriously. And so that's why in this session, we want to consider our time is so precious. How are we going to spend our time? And so the second word is regrets. We were just considering some of the brothers. We were considering what are some things that people regret after leaving college? And one major thing that we thought of is people, if they didn't read through the Bible, what a regret. What a waste to go through your college years and not know the Word of God. To end your college career and realize, I didn't get through the Bible. I don't know what God says. But so that would be a shame, right? We all want to be saved from that regret. Here's a second regret. And Ben brought it out in a good way, that he didn't regret middle school because he brought someone to the Lord. So another regret that we'd have is to get to the end of our college career, realize that we contacted hundreds of people, but maybe never brought one person to salvation or never brought someone into the enjoyment of Christ. That would also be a terrible shame.
And none of us want to leave college with that regret. And I believe many of you are endeavoring to not have that regret, which is so encouraging. And then another regret would be that we would leave college and realize I didn't get built up with the brothers and sisters I was placed with. I never got connected to a family. I never prayed with this brother. You see him, you part ways at your graduation and realize we never got built up. That would be terrible, right? See, that would be terrible, you know, to leave and realize I never got built up with Joe, you, right? Of course, you guys did get built up. So you guys redeemed the time. So say you set a goal. So now this brings us to our third word, a goal to not have that regret. That every goal is hard to schedule a big goal like that. I want to read the Bible. Okay, how are you going to schedule reading the Bible? You're not going to do it in one sitting, right? You need to break it up into sub-goals. You kind of have a goal and a means. I'll just give you a little example. My brother is a marathoner, and he had a dream since he was in high school to go to the Olympics. So he when he was in high school, he carved 2008 into a pumpkin and with the Olympic rings on it. He was desperate to get to the Olympics. But you know what? He didn't get to the Olympics the next year. He had goals all the way along the line, what he did in high school. Every workout, three times a week, there was a goal. Three times a week, every day, he had a goal, how fast he was going to run. Every lap of every workout, he was going to run for 5 years, right? For years and years and years, there was goals. There was a goal for this lap. There was a goal for that lap. How fast are you going to run your next tempo run? Every single thing had a goal. And that goal was a long ways away, but there was a whole lot of steps. There was thousands of steps. Right. What time you wake up in the morning, checking your heart rate in the morning so you know where your body's at for your next workout. That is moving towards that goal. That's serious. That's business, right? That's the running business. So that's not that serious. It's just running. It doesn't mean anything. Running is not serious. You run 26 miles and you end up in the same place. It's not serious. So we don't want to run that kind of race, right? So we want to give ourselves for the most important enterprise in the universe by setting goals that are good for you. We were just considering this matter of goals, and I hope that everyone will use this time, redeem the time, to set a goal for you. It's good to fellowship with one another to consider, but don't look at the brother next to you and say, you're going to read the whole Bible this semester? No, don't look at that. You need to consider what's attainable for me. What's the goal for me that I can attain this year, this semester? So let's look at this sheet. Turn it to the blank sheet. There's a blank side that has this section for spiritual goals for this year. Okay, and I'm just going to suggest some goals. And then this is not a complete set of goals, but this is some goals you may want to set. So now, I'm just going to go through these, and then we're going to give you at least 10 minutes to just kind of try to fill out your schedule and set some goals. But you can feel free to talk to one another, but to just fellowship. But don't, just consider what's my goal. So times with the Lord. And this says time per day. And so maybe your goal would be 5 minutes with the Lord. Maybe your goal would be 10 minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes. But this time needs to be concentrated. I know sometimes I've heard this thought that I spend time with the Lord as I drive to school. Brothers and sisters, it's good to spend time with the Lord while you're driving, but time with the Lord, it should be set apart. Yeah. Okay, it's good to have time that's set apart where it's the Lord is the objective, not driving. You know, if you're driving somewhere, that's the objective, and the Lord, He's there with you, and you can enjoy the Lord as you're driving, but there needs to be set time where the Lord is the sole objective of that time. So I would just recommend for this time that you set a specific time that's just the Lord, only objective. So here's our second category is pursuing the truth. So what are some good goals for pursuing the truth? Maybe you read the New Testament this year. Maybe just to read a chapter a day. That's good, but it's good to have a good goal. Maybe this year you want to read through the Old Testament, maybe through the New Testament. Maybe you're reading some Bible commentaries. Maybe your goal is to get through a set of Bible commentaries this year. I know that some are enjoying that. So to set those goals are really good. You know, maybe this semester, this year, maybe even some have the goal to read the New Testament once a month. I've heard of brothers and sisters doing that. That's a wonderful goal. But maybe that's not the right goal for you. Maybe your goal is to get to the New Testament in the next 2 years. That's okay. But the goal of this time is to have a goal. So yeah, keyword goal. Now this third category is contacting people related to this matter of not having this regret of not leading someone to the Lord. And I was considering, you know, maybe you would set aside some time to go visit someone. Recently, some brothers in the last year, there was one they were so burdened for, and he came to salvation in this last year. But I talked to a brother about it, and he said, I visited him at least 40 times before he was saved. So that was some time. And this brother was very busy. His time was very scheduled. But he set aside some time to regularly just go in a short way. Sometimes he just go study there. He was resourceful in finding time to get to that one. And that one, personally, as a full-timer, I looked at what this brother was doing. I said, brother, he's a lost case. What are you spending so much time on this one for? But that brother was so faithful to go visit 40 times, even getting other brothers involved. Eventually, this one got saved. So set aside some time to visit somebody. Or how about some time to go out and speak the gospel to someone? I met a young man on campus this semester. He had a goal. Every time he went to school, he would talk to one person. That's a good goal. Maybe talk to one person a week, right? That's not bad. Maybe you have a class with a brother, and after you say, brother, how about after we leave this class, every time after we leave this class, we talk to one person afterwards on our way home. That's not a bad goal. So just something, some time to contact people. And now this last category, being built up with others. Here are some things I considered. Maybe you would set a morning revival time. Could be on the phone, could be 5 minutes. Or maybe you'd have a set time to pray for other people. Maybe it's your housemate. Maybe it's your roommate. Maybe it's an older brother in your small group or older sister. You know, there's so many different directions to get related and built up with people. It's good to have some goals. I have a goal to get connected to a family. I want to spend some time with them. So I need to set aside some time. Maybe even it's just once a month, you know, in that situation. But maybe once a week you have the time. Someone recommended maybe you have a time to sing with a brother. A brother shared his testimony in college. He had a time with a brother just to sing through the hymnal. There's so many ways to get built up. So, you know, how about we just start now? We'll just take 10 minutes, maybe a little bit more, and try to write down your schedule to your best of your memory. Your classes. There's an example schedule. If you forget some things you might have classes. We'll come to the example afterwards. I want to mention some things. But first, let's take some time. But really consider your goals. That's the most important thing. You know, if you can't remember your schedule, that's fine. But consider, what goal do I want to set this semester, this year? This academic year. Yeah, so this academic year, consider, what are these categories is the Lord touching me on? And what do I want to make some advance on? So, okay, so go ahead, take some time. Feel free to talk to one another, but don't talk about other things, okay? We just focus on fellowship related to this thing, this schedule. So take some time right now. Go ahead. Yeah, 10 minutes. And so I'll stand up and I'll stop you guys. So, you know, feel free to take this back with you and consider it some more. But for now, put it away. We're going to... don't put it away just yet. Sorry. I'm going to say just a little something else. And then when Stephen comes and we have some more testimonies, you can just put it away and we pull it out later. But, you know, we were putting together this fake schedule, this example schedule. And I was just considering, you know, college students are so busy. I mean, on the one hand, there's a lot of free time, but you make your own schedule, and so many college students make themselves so busy. But I was just considering that we have to be so resourceful. I just consider a good businessman is resourceful, is industrious, and considering how to use these times. I was just thinking about like these times, like, you know, there's a lunch time. We were going to put lunch in here, but we didn't. But I was considering how we eat our lunch. You know, that's a crucial time. You can use your lunch so, you can really redeem a lot of lunches. You can minister a lot of Christ at lunches, eating lunch with someone else, or eating lunch with a full-timer to get into the Word, to get into, you know, to enjoy the Lord together, to be built up with another brother. Lunches are great. Yeah. Lunches are awesome. Yeah, even breakfast. I know some brothers have breakfast morning revival. That's wonderful. That is so profitable. Yeah, I was even considering commuting. You know, you get a jawbone, right? And you pray with a brother on the phone. You get built up during your commute. We need to have eyes to see those windows when you can redeem that time. You know, that we wouldn't lose the commutes. You know, we wouldn't lose those meal times. We would look for those little opportunities to minister Christ, to spend Christ. I was considering your studying. You know, that you're studying where you can study with some you're burdened for. You know, maybe you're just waiting. You know, maybe you study with him for 10 weeks. You know, at the end of the quarter, you finally have that window to dispense some Christ, right? Yeah. To minister some Christ to them. So that time was redeemed. You were studying, but there was a purpose. There was a goal. I was recently touched, you know, that the Lord's precious blood in the book of Peter, it was shed to redeem us from a vain manner of life. And so to be saved from a vain manner of life is to be saved into a life full of purpose, where everything we do is full of content, full of purpose, and full of reality. So when you go to study, and you study with some friends, and your view is toward that person getting saved, that study time is full of content and full of reality. And I think the Lord will always bless. The Lord will honor your consecration and your desire. So we have to be resourceful. You know, even, you know, a lot of us, we do different forms of recreation. We go to the gym. We go running. You know, you do different things. These are great opportunities. You know, your daily life, you know, is a great opportunity to be with other people, to get interested in other people and to just minister Christ for them. You know, you go for a run with someone, but you're just looking for the opportunity. Do you know what I enjoyed this weekend? You know, I enjoyed that God is flowing. Now, I'm enjoying, you know, you just look for those opportunities. I remember running in college. The Lord worked out. I was running with this guy, and I just got to share with him Jeremiah 15:16. And just to know what are the two evils that God, what are the things that God hates the most. And he was so impressed. But anyways, when you work out, you get these messages. You listen to them again. You go on age turns. You download some messages. And you redeem that time. There's so many opportunities. Of course, you know, in the car, you can listen to messages. So we need to pray, Lord, give us eyes to see the opportunities. Yeah. To see those kairos, right? The kairos, those supreme, what's the phrase? Supreme moment. You know, realize this is the supreme moment. You know, you may never get this opportunity again. You know, you may, especially with people, you know, you have classmates, and this is a supreme moment. You may only be in that class one time with that person your whole time in your life. It's really the supreme moment. Those, especially the quarter system, 10 weeks. So every class is a supreme moment. Every opportunity to study, supreme moment. So we really want to lay hold of those moments. Every time when it seems like you have nothing to do but you have your Bible, that's a supreme moment. That's a supreme moment to meet your goal, right? To get into the Word. So look for the supreme moment throughout your chronology, right? You have this long time, but look for that supreme moment. So I hope you would consider. Also, one other thing is, you know, that you do have a lot of free time, even a busy schedule. If you notice on this schedule, it talks about at the very end, time available. Essentially, that's free time that can be used for so many things. It can be used for recreation, but especially it can be used for your church life. So even a busy schedule like this one has 50 hours free. That's more than two full days. Of course, the weekends, we didn't schedule much on this one. But you see, there's always free time. Especially when you do this kind of exercise of scheduling your time, that's how you can find those 50 hours. Somehow those 50 hours, they just leak away if you're not diligent. So you have 50 hours on your hands, as a college student. You got to figure out, how can I redeem these precious 50 hours, this time that's available. So you do have free time. You need to find it. You need to find that free time that you can redeem to go on in the Lord in such a strong way in your college years. Get that Cairo. So I'm done. Bahaliyah.
Amen. One of the items that many college students are limited in is money, right? Our college students generally are not wealthy, don't have a lot to spend. But, there's this phrase, time is money. If you count things that way, actually, college students are the richest people on the earth. You have the most free time, and that free time will only dwindle as your life goes on. So, it's easy if you have a lot of something to be wasteful of it. But it's precious to realize that as college students, you have a lot of something that's very, very precious, and that is time. Amen. That is time. So I like that. We need to seize all of the supreme moments. Amen. While you're in college and live a life of no regrets. Amen. It's very helpful. Well, we just want to have a little bit of fellowship from Genesis 4 and 5, all right? Genesis 4 and 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis 4. And I'm going to have Alex here help us to read Genesis 4:18 and then Genesis 5:12 through 14. All right, Genesis 4:18 and Genesis 5:12 through 14. All right, there's going to be... don't get distracted, but what I want you to concentrate on when he reads these two set of verses is, what is the difference between the record in Genesis 4 and the record in Genesis 5. All right, what's the difference between Genesis 4 and 5? All right, okay, go ahead, Alex. Why don't you speak into the microphone here. So this is Genesis 4:18.
And Irad was born to Enosh, and Irad begot Mehujael, and Mehujael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot Lamech.
Okay, pretty straightforward. 12 through 14.
And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he had begotten Mahalalel 840 years. And he begot more sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died.
Okay. Did you get it? This is not a trick question. So what's the difference between Genesis 4 and Genesis 5? The difference is numbering. The difference is numbering. In Genesis 4, the record is very simple. This person begot this person. This person begot this person. But in Genesis 5, it says, you know, Canaan lived 70 years, then he begot someone. Then he lived another 840 years, and his total days were 910 years. And he begot more sons and daughters. But there's these three numbers given for each person recorded in Genesis, Genesis 5. The time before they had a kid, the time after they had their kid, and then the total number of years in their life. So why this difference? Why is there a difference in the record in Genesis 4 and Genesis 5? Well, it goes back to... Okay, of course, the first man was Adam, and Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Many of us are familiar with the story of Cain and Abel, but some that may not know. That they had another child named Seth. All right, and the story in Genesis 4 is a record of the descendants of Cain, and in Genesis 5, it's a record of the descendants of Seth. So now we need to look at, well, who is Cain and who is Seth? What's going on here? All right. Cain was a person who tried to worship God according to his own way. And there's a verse in Genesis 3 that says, God had no regard for the offering of Cain. God had no regard for the offering of Cain. So on the line of Cain, there's no fellowship. No fellowship with God. All right, there's another verse where Cain says he was hid from God's face. No, none of God's presence. All right, Cain's line is a line void of the stream. Yeah. It's void of the fellowship. Yeah. Now what? So and consequently, actually, you see a lot of these names that you also see great accomplishments. If you look at Genesis 4, it talks about the descendants of Cain. They built cities. They played musical instruments. They forged tools of iron and copper. So they were doing a lot. They were busy accomplishing a lot. But you know what? Their days didn't count. In the record in God's Word, their days did not count. There's no number on their days. All right? I was reminded of, you know, last year, a famous person, Steve Jobs, right? He passed away. Great accomplishments. One of the greatest inventors that ever lived, really. He was a great inventor. Great accomplishments, but you know what? How many of his days are counted before the Lord? I can't answer that question. But from his biography and from what we know, probably not that much, if any. All right? Now let's look at this line, all right? What defines Seth? What defines Seth? And Alex, if I can have you help me again, back in Genesis, at the end of Genesis 4, it's very interesting, verses 25 and 26. So as you listen to these verses, you can tell us what defines Seth, okay? Go ahead.
And Adam knew his wife again, and she gave birth to a son called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, because Cain slew.
And to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the name of Jehovah.
Amen. Okay, so what defines Seth? The line of Seth. What? It's calling on the name of the Lord. All right? I think it's just very interesting that those two verses are inserted there at the end of Genesis 4. Because in Genesis 5, it talks about Adam, Seth, it talks about Seth's descendants. But before it starts talking about that line, it just mentions this little thing. And to Seth was born a son, Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. So, what's this line? This is a line of people in the stream. People who call on the Lord.
Amen.
Right? We talked about calling on the Lord this morning. That defines this line. That defines this line. And consequently, because the ones on this line were on the line of fellowship with God, they were in the stream. They probably wouldn't use those words, but they were in fellowship with God. Their days were numbered, and their days were counted before the Lord. Their days were counted in God's word. And of course, this is where we want to be, right? This is where we want to be. Now, there's a verse in Psalm chapter 90, Psalm 90, 12. Really good verse. It says, here, I'll read it to you. It says, "Teach us then to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The days that were recorded in Genesis 5, under the line of Seth, were numbered by God, which means they counted. We might have a certain past. Do we waste time? I don't think any of us are satisfied with the way that we use our time. We shouldn't be. But I really like Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a prayer. It's not a command. It doesn't say number our days, but Psalm 90 is a psalm of a prayer to the Lord. But in this prayer, what's the prayer? It says, "Teach us. Teach us to number our days." So isn't this a good prayer? Are we perfect? We're not perfect. Are we expecting a change starting from Monday afternoon so that we never waste time anymore? No, but we're here to learn. We're learning. And we can pray this prayer, "Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days." There's also a good verse in Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12:1. It goes very well with this. It says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come. And the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" That's referring to the years, you know, down the line. All right. But this first phrase, "Remember also your Creator," when? In the days of your youth. That's right. In the days of your youth. This is how we make the days of our youth count, right? It's to remember our Creator. It's to remember the Lord. It's to call on the Lord. It's to enjoy the divine stream. That will cause our days to be numbered, especially the days of our youth. Amen. Okay, so we just wanted to have a couple of testimonies along this line. And I think in terms of numbering our days, especially while we're in college. So, Brother Evan, why don't you use this mic? We'll share a little bit of his testimony relating to numbering our days.
Praise the Lord. My name is Evan. I just want to reiterate that the reason why we're having this fellowship is not because we're all perfect, not because we all redeem our time completely. We all fall short in one way or another, but that's why we need this fellowship. I hope we all would take this fellowship to heart so that we could redeem as much time as possible. Again, my name is Evan, and I'm serving full-time at USC, and I was asked to share my testimony with you all, and I'm happy to do so. My testimony, just to let you all know at the beginning, is one of not numbering my days. If you all were expecting something of an overcoming life, sorry. I hope you all will, in one way or another, be able to identify with many of the experiences I had, but I also hope that your experience in your college years will not end the same way that mine did. So I grew up in a Christian home, received the Lord, and was baptized at a young age, sixth grade, like many of you all. I would say that I enjoy the Lord to some degree throughout junior high as well as in college. Junior high and in high school. But when I went to college, however, I also went to USC. My experience changed very drastically. And the reason is because my heart was set on many different things. I wanted, first and foremost, what I wanted was to have a lot of friends and to have a very full college experience. I wanted to do well in school, although that was somewhat secondary to me. I wanted to have a lot of friends. I wanted to meet a lot of people. I wanted to be very active on campus. I very much enjoyed music. I very much enjoyed event planning. So very naturally, I fell into different situations and positions that afforded me the opportunity for these areas of my personality to grow and to be fulfilled. So, interestingly enough, I was able to accomplish many of the things that I wanted to achieve, many of the things that my heart was set on. I was in a particular student organization on the board for 4 years. The last year I was the president. I was able to do a lot of the different things that I wanted to do. Actually, I would say that I went beyond what I had expected and aspired to when I was a freshman coming into the school. My grades were okay, and also many of the other things I was able to attain to. But as with every experience that we go through, there is always a last day. I had been joining myself to many different husbands, and there was a certain degree of satisfaction. Sure, of course there is. If there wasn't, why would we, get involved with these things at all? But as with anything apart from the Lord, there is always a last day. And my last day, or rather my realization of the last day, came the winter break of my senior year, which was actually my super senior year. I was in school for 5 years, which made for an even fuller experience. But I remember so distinctly my time at USC. I just did whatever I wanted to do. Whatever my heart desired, that's what I went after. But I was forced to face the reality that my experience was about to come to a close, and which is that's what the experience of the last day is. It was so strange because I had not, honestly, I could probably count on one hand the number of times that I had read the Bible throughout those 5 years. The number of meetings, Christian meetings I had gone to, also probably count on two hands, the number that I had gone to. But yet still, even without a knowledge of the last day, I had the experience of the last day. I just look back upon my time that I had spent in college, probably just as the ones at the feast look back upon the previous 6 days that they had been feasting. And I just considered, has this really made me happy? I have pursued these things, and I have attained and gained many, if not all of them. But yet, at the core of my being, I had to admit to myself, even if I wouldn't admit to anyone else, I had to admit to myself that I was still not satisfied. And I feared so much a repeating of this cycle. You just go about your life, and then at some point, something comes to an end, you look back, and you feel empty. What kind of a life is this? This a cycle over and over. But unfortunately, apart from the Lord, this is the cycle. Apart from the Lord, this is human experience. You know, however many, maybe the cycle is 10 years. Maybe the cycle is 20 years. But eventually, we all have to, everything, whatever it is, comes to an end. And we have to look back. And we have to consider. You all are in college, and you all are, you know, the last day for your college experience is set. Well, you know, mine was, and then I went another year. But more or less, it will come. It's not going to be 10 years later. It's not going to be 20 years later. But it will probably be somewhere between, right, 1 and 3 years from now. I think you all will have the same experience that I had looking back upon your time in college. But I hope that within you will be a different response. Within you will be a different sensation, not one of having wasted your time or having been left with emptiness, vanity of vanities, but one where you can look back and say, I have enjoyed the Lord. I have given myself to the Lord. There have been specific experiences that I will take with me for the rest of my life that I know are not only valuable to me, but are also valuable to God. Amen. These are the experiences. These are the dots in our life that really count. Amen. And we have to be honest with ourselves. If it doesn't matter to God, it really doesn't matter to us. You know? Really, the only thing that is eternal, that we can have the peace that it is of eternal value, is what God values. So anyways, I had this experience, this kind of, crisis, quarter life, I don't know, one-fifth life crisis. because of having grown up, among other, brothers and sisters, once I realized that the direction I was going in was going to end in dissatisfaction and more and probably greater thirst, I just thought, well, if it's not this, maybe it's the Lord Jesus. You know, it had been so long since I had really tasted the Lord, so long since I had entered into the stream, that it was just sort of a, well, you know, I might as well try it. I might as well try it. So what I started doing was I started reading the Bible. And the difference this time, I had read the Bible before, you know, bits and pieces, not the whole thing. But the difference this time is that there was a seeking within my heart that I wanted the Lord Jesus. Amen. Or in a sense, I wanted the meaning of my life, which is the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you that my life changed. I read sequentially, before I even finished the Gospels, the Lord Jesus was so real to me. And I just kept reading. I couldn't stop myself. And I finished in about 3 months, the New Testament. And I was not the same person. I had more satisfaction in my life than I had in my entire 5 years put together. So what I decided to do, because I realized that I have to, to say it in the words that I said, I have to basically kick myself, you know, out of the situation that, out of the direction that I'm currently going in. So what I decided to do was I decided to go to the full-time training in Anaheim, which is a Bible school in Anaheim, obviously, a two-year program. And it was difficult for me, especially at the beginning, because it was such a stark contrast. I had not been enjoying the Lord, very limited. I had not really had much fellowship with other brothers and sisters. So when I came to the program, the Bible school, it was really very hard. But in that time when I was there, the Lord cared for me, and He shepherded me, not only directly in my personal prayer time with Him, but through many other brothers and sisters in the program and out of the program. And I realized, this is where I want to be. Not necessarily in that Bible school, but I want to be around brothers and sisters, because everything else is false. whatever relationships you have with others, other people, if Christ is not, you know, I would say, you know, ideally Christ is the center. But if Christ is not even a factor at all in that relationship, it's false. There is no reality. Christ is the real reality. And we need to fill our life and the relationships we have with others with Him. And I can just, you know, as you know, Brother Craig was sharing about the regrets. Oh man, that was me, you know. All of these things, I had to read the Bible, I didn't contact anyone, you know. you know, and I can tell you, I wish the college years are so precious. And I wish that they had been redeemed. Because now, as one who's serving full time, I can testify that college students are the most useful, are the best ones to care for others, to reach out to others. These years are very special. And as they shared, we have the most time. I can tell you, I wasted so much time. You know, without a doubt, some of it could have been redeemed. It's not too much to say that some of my time could have been redeemed to spend on the Lord, getting to know Him, and getting built up with other brothers and sisters. And that's actually the reason why I even decided to serve full time. And I had a very strong desire to be back at the school that I had went to, because I realized that none of my time had been redeemed. And the Lord has been merciful to me that, and having afforded me the opportunity where my experience and my memories of my time at that school are not just an empty void. So every day, as I'm there now, you know, I've been serving for 2 years now. Every day as I'm there, I'm filling my experience of USC with meaning, amen, with real satisfaction. Amen. And I can testify that I would never go back. There were particular experiences where I had to leave things behind. And that's never easy, you know. What we're constituted with is it's the very fiber of our being, and it's very hard to separate that. But there are many experiences where the Lord will touch us and say, "Well, if you want the flow, you have to let go of this." And I hope He would grant us all the strength, the mercy, and the grace that we would be able to say, "Amen, Lord. I treasure the flow over these pants, these 2-for-1 pants that are on sale, right? I treasure the flow. We need to be ones. I hope that our college experience would be full of the flow." So please remember my testimony. I hope your experience would not be the same, that much of your time would be redeemed. We're not up here saying that every single minute of every single day needs to be redeemed. You know, forget your studies, don't go to school, that's not important. You know, no, that's not at all what the situation is. Right. But we need to be honest with ourselves that there is a lot of time that can be redeemed. Yeah. Why not 5 minutes? Why not 10 minutes? Why not many of us have the Bible on our phone. We don't even have to bring it, you know, it's right there. You know, why not, let's redeem as much of our time in our college years as we can. Amen.
Evan and I work together at USC serving the Lord, and many times we go out and speak to people on campus. And when we talk to someone who's really not interested in the Lord or who's just a little bit interested, many times he'll share with them his testimony about his time in college and about how he really regrets it. And that's why he's coming back to talk to you right now about the Lord, so you don't have to go through the same thing that he did. So I really appreciate his testimony. Just one more little story before we get ready for dinner. Dinner's not ready yet. When I was in college a long time ago, there was a brother actually who was there where we were in Los Angeles. I went to UCLA. His name was John, and he was I would say he's a model of someone who numbered his days, especially who numbered his mornings. He numbered his mornings. He was an older brother. I was a college student. He was older, probably in his 50s at that time. He had a job. I was in college. He was not, I would say he was not a charismatic person. He was not outgoing. I would say he was not outwardly gifted. But he numbered his mornings and he numbered his days. And it had a big effect on me when I was in college. So he would, again, he has a job, he has a family, but he would consistently and very, very consistently, rain or shine, didn't matter. Some days it would be raining and I would expect him not to come, but he still came. He would consistently come to the house where I lived with other brothers, and he would spend time with us to enjoy the Lord in the morning, to have morning revival together. And maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And we wouldn't be the only ones. And he wouldn't just do that once. There would be sometimes he would come at 7 for the people who had 8 o'clock class, 8 for the people who had 9 o'clock class, 9 for the people who had 10 o'clock class. And in between, he would be on the phone with other people, calling them to do what? To enjoy the Lord with them in the morning. So he was a tiger when it came to redeeming the time in the morning in terms of enjoying the Lord with others and helping them to enjoy the Lord. So in 2000, I believe it was in 2007, so I was in college 1994 to 1998. But he passed away, I believe it was 2007, when Brother John went to be with the Lord. And at that time, he was taken suddenly. It was not expected. It was, right? Was it 2007? 2007, right? Yeah, it was unexpected. And many times when someone is taken unexpectedly, you just kind of reflect on your interactions with them, and many times you have regrets. Like, oh, if I just would have, done this, or I had that opportunity to do this with that person, but I just didn't do it. I should have done it. But looking back, when he passed away, looking back on the time that I had with him, I didn't have any regrets. And I wouldn't say it was my, I wouldn't say not to my credit either. Because he was the one that was very regular and always coming. Why? I tried to calculate, and I can't remember what my calculation at that time was, but I tried to calculate how many minutes we had spent together in the mornings of enjoying the Lord together, just while I was there in college, which we continue to do actually after college as well, because we served together in Los Angeles, served the Lord together. But as a minimum, the time that we probably spent together in college, again, this is myself, this young freshman or sophomore with an older senior brother. We didn't have that much in common. But I would guess at minimum we spent at least 6,300 minutes together enjoying the Lord. And that's why I had no regrets when he went to be with the Lord. Again, I would not say that's to my credit, because many times I was not necessarily looking forward to the time, or was hoping that he wouldn't show up so I could sleep in, or something like that. But he was faithful, he was regular to redeem his mornings, to number his morning times with the Lord, and to help other people do the same thing. And so I'm very thankful for that. And when it comes to Brother John, I have no regrets. I have no regrets because he faithfully pursued not just myself, but many of the ones that went to UCLA many of the brothers were really helped by him. And so, right around the time when what month was it? Do you remember, Ben, when he went to be with the Lord? I want to say it was like June. Yeah, it was June. So it was June. At that time, my wife was pregnant with our second son, who was to be born in December. So we named his middle name after Brother John. So his middle name is John, because of all the time that we spent together to do what? To be in the divine stream.
Amen.
And to enjoy the Lord. So I'm very thankful to Brother John for numbering his mornings and helping other people to number their mornings with him. Surely, Brother John's life is on this line right here, on the line of calling on the Lord, and especially when it came to redeeming the morning times with the Lord. He is definitely on the line of the divine stream.